Oh, those birds. Fucking birds. The later it gets, the more they're like, just chill. What do you reckon they're doing? Like, what do you reckon they're
fucking or that's trying to? Isn't that how day? The how just nature all day works? Like, I think we can assume they're the male birds. Getting in the spirit, okay. You know, just getting in that real bitchy spirit that I know you love.
That's right.
I'm loving this new technology here.
Can I tell you about this thing, right? So
yeah, please.
This was the weekend before last, and we got this thing and we got the TV, and they arrived at the same time.
All right.
And
when you say this thing, you need to
explain. It's a video camera of outside my garage, because I sit here in my garage all day. This is my home office in here.
Mm-hmm.
And
your man cave.
Mm-hmm. And I can't see the outside world, and I hear noises, and
because you've got a window, but the window doesn't really.
It's more the sky that you see.
Yeah, because it's a bit high,
it's
isn't
up
it?
High and it's, you know, people come to the door as well, and I can't see them. I don't know who's there. So,
And then it's kind of a mission to get from here to your front door. And by the time you get there.
Yeah. So for a long time, I've wanted a camera somewhere outside.
Mm-hmm.
And so the other week I was like, fuck it, I'm just going to go and do a bit of research and get one.
So now we've got like friggin' cinematic widescreen over the front of your house.
But it was a bit of a bitch to install, and so it took hours to run the cables up through, drill a hole through the walls and all that kind of thing. So it doesn't look like it's...
It's very handy of you.
Yeah, I'm always doing handy things like that.
Are you?
I am.
Oh, should I ask Sharon
That's
to
true.
Confirm?
I also, on the same weekend, installed that TV, mounted it. But because I mounted the TV.
How did the TV feel about that?
I gave it a good one.
He says as he completely misses the jar.
Well, okay, not to get too technical here, but the
good God,
what are they called in the walls? The studs. The studs are too awkwardly placed.
Did you mount the studs?
The idea is that you mount the TV onto the studs, like this TV mount thing goes onto the studs and then the TV hangs on that. But the studs were located where the TV would be off center regardless.
Always, every
so
time.
So I had to go to Bunnings, purchase a piece of wood and cut that wood to a certain size and spray paint it black so it didn't look like a piece of wood attached to the wall before I spray painted sink the drill holes, the holes the screws go into, and then mount that to the wall.
Yeah, great.
So I'm pretty handy, thank you very much. But anyway,
back to the camera. Well, you're
welcome. Back to the camera.
Yeah.
I had spent most of the day trying to get this done. Like, I woke up early, did half of it, then kind of went back during times to get it working.
What you're saying is you did fuck all work.
No,
that day.
I woke up early, I did it mostly before work. But then the next day I kind of
sure you did.
Went and did some more. And like drilled it and
so you drilled it, did you?
And then I turned.
Did you mount it before or after drilling it?
And then I had it's intercourse. The I had sexual relations.
I did not have sexual relations with that inanimate household object.
Anyway, long story short, when I turned it on, it was upside down.
What was the camera?
The camera.
Oh,
and
no.
And upside down, I was just like, oh, my God. I was freaking out because the drill holes, I'd lined everything up so perfectly, and it was all like, I'd planned it and thought about it and done it, like all the drilling exactly where I needed to go, and then upside down. And I was just dreading all the shit I have to redo. So if you turn it upside down, then now the cable has to go to the other side.
No.
You've got to re-drill the other side.
Oh.
You've got to cover up the, like, it's a nightmare.
Yeah.
And so I was up there.
Did you cry?
Inside I did cry.
Yeah.
I was just like, this is fucked.
Justified.
Also because I'd gone through and like made sure and double checked it.
I would have properly lost it.
Yeah.
Like that would have been enough to tip me over the edge.
It was a lot for me to deal with.
Yeah.
And so anyway, I went up there the next day and I looked at it and I'm like, but if you put it upside down, it just looks shit. Like it's clearly not designed to go that way. So then I opened it up and like you can rotate the mechanism internally. And so I'd had it in my mind to be like, well, tomorrow, here's what I'm going to get up there. I'm going to have to re-drill on the other side. I'm going to rerun the cable through. I'm going to have to re-drill all the holes, blah, blah, blah. It's going to be a nightmare. It's going to take all day, but it's going to suck. And then I got up there and I was like, I can just twist it out and it's perfect. And I was like, so happy about that. It was stressful, but like it all worked out in the end.
Cool.
And there's a lesson in that for all of us.
Is there? What's the lesson?
Sometimes you fuck up. But it all works out in the end because you just twist the mechanism around.
Confucius say.
When you think about it, flip it around,
wick and watch. Oh my God.
Shall we get into
it? Yeah.
So we're here with our exclusive Patreon, a little extra content, a little extra bonus segment, which we have named as of a few hours ago. We were like brainstorming names and we've arrived on the niche. So here we are in the niche.
Ooh.
It's warm in here.
Oh.
It's
moist.
It's slightly moist. It's quite humid and moist here in the niche. But we're glad that you are with us.
Yeah, welcome.
Mm. So what are we going to talk about today, Amanda? I think this is your little...
Well, I mean, we can talk about anything really, but what I wanted to talk about...
It's all pink in the niche.
What does that mean? It's all pink.
You know what it means.
No, I mean... Yeah.
There's a saying, it's all pink in the dark.
I've never heard that in my life.
Equivalent meaning to like any hole's a goal.
I see. Okay, this is a porn thing, right? That's why I didn't know about it.
It's just a general philosophy.
It's a lie back. Confucius say. Oh my God. Okay. Anyway, thanks for that little education. Well, the thing I wanted to chat about today, I'm curious, right? Because I'm in full-blown brain rot mode. Mm. Like, as at the time of recording, it's the end of the year. Knowing us, we won't publish this till, like, July.
Yeah,
so, you know, who knows? But for context, it's the end of the year as we're recording this, just before Christmas, a few days to go. Mm. And I'm just so done. And I know everyone else is. Yeah, I'm not original there. Like, we're all cooked. We are just done. Stick a fork in me, etc. And the kids finished school a few days ago. Before 9 a.m. on the first day of school holidays, my youngest child said to me, I'm bored.
Mm.
Like, literally, she's such a cliche. And I can't deal with it. I just can't deal with it. And I'm just like, I just want to turn my brain off and just not face the world. I want to go numb. I want to just rot.
Mm.
So I guess I've just been reflecting on my little brain rots that I'm doing at the moment to just switch off out of my life.
Right? As a parent, there are no holidays anymore.
No. Right?
Like when, as a working person, you get like 2 weeks off a year. If you're like in Australia, we have 4 weeks, but like that's no one takes 4 weeks except when like they get paid out at the end of their job or they go on one holiday.
One big holiday.
At one point, but that'll do them for like several years. Most people just take like 2 weeks off at Christmas or whatever.
Mm.
But no, you've got your kids. Your kids are there.
Yeah.
Ruining your holiday.
Well, they're making it a job. They're making the holiday's a job and the holiday's not for you anymore. The holiday's something they'll enjoy.
And your job is to keep them entertained or at least like tell them to entertain themselves.
And give them like the perfect scenario to entertain themselves only for them to complain. So, yeah. So, like there isn't really a break and it's just, you know, we're on this treadmill, the work treadmill.
Mm.
It's pretty painful. And, you know, I confess, basically, I've been a potato. I'm turning into a potato, which is not like me, to be honest. Mm. Like, normally I'm constantly moving and doing things. But, yeah, so I downloaded this new game.
Okay.
And it makes me laugh. It's called Tasty Treats.
Okay. Yeah, so this is a brain rot game on your phone.
Yeah, it's just a piece of shit game, right? It's like a Candy Crush equivalent or whatever. So, in this game, it's a matching game. You've got to, like... match the two objects and then they'll turn into a new object. Mm-hmm. And that's all it does. Mm-hmm. But it's like a poker machine because sometimes it'll be like, oh, you can't do it right now. You've run out of energy.
Yeah.
You can buy more energy if you want. Yeah. And you can it's the dumbest shit. It's so dumb. And I am enjoying it. And every time I realize it's been a couple of hours, which means it would have refreshed its energy, I'm like, oh, I've got to get in the game. Like, just move things into each other. It's so, like, there's something wrong with me.
Like, it's designed to be addictive.
It's 100% addictive.
And destroy your life.
I'm going to destroy my life. So, I guess, anyway, Tasty Treats is good fun. I'm very much enjoying Tasty Treats. Mm. And this is after, like, I got sucked in by an ad from the other brain rot game that I've had on my phone for quite some time and on which I am on a very high, embarrassingly high level.
Mm.
Because it's the only game I ever play and it's called Matchington Mansion.
I think you've mentioned this game before, actually.
It's just dumb. It's the dumbest shit ever. But, like, I've got this policy on Matchington Mansion where, like, you're supposed to decorate your mansion. Mm. You win objects for your mansion and you can kind of decorate it. And you get to choose between one of three options every time you get a new object. You choose which one you want. And I used to build my mansion the way I liked it and have all this stuff and decorate it. And then one day I lost all my progress on the game and my whole and I was far into the game. I'd been playing it for years. Lost all my progress and my mansion reset. And then I realized it was.
And you can't tell anyone about that.
Well, you're not going to get a huge amount of sympathy about your Matchington Mansion death. But yeah, it was a problem. And then because I'm an existential nihilist, right? Mm. I realized it doesn't matter what I put in my stupid fucking mansion.
Yeah.
And so now I just pick the first option every time. And that's all I do. And I just play the game. I play the brain rot and I just and now I don't even – the mansion is just the default settings.
Yeah. That's an interesting phenomenon because now you've like removed any agency out of it.
Yeah.
And you're like, this game is giving me too much agency. I need it to brain rot me harder.
Yeah. Exactly. I'm just like, oh, God, please. So all that aside, my question is, what are your brain rots? What are you numbing out on? What can you recommend?
Plus my mansion. I need more. Can I tell you about, like, I consider myself a bit of a gamer, like historically, you know, I've played games all my life, but phone games, like I made a conscious effort. I don't have any games installed on my phone. I have chess on there, but I never play it on my phone, I play it on the computer.
Bullshit. You just told me today you were playing Wordle.
Yeah, but that's what I mean. Like phone games. Wordle is like you do it once a day.
Okay, it's still a game, mate.
Yeah, but this is what I'm getting towards. Okay, like I don't have like brain rot.
You
games.
Don't have I used to play tasty a game treats.
I can't even remember what it's called. It's a popular one, but you match like numbers and then the numbers get bigger and I got really good at it and like the numbers got really big and like you
play. Oh, that one.
Yeah.
But I used to kick your ass at it.
What?
It's called like 2084. It's a number.
Or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. But no, I got quite good at that game. I have to say, I played it a lot and like I worked out all the little intricate strategies. And
You need a strategy. That's one where you actually have to know what you're doing.
But I find that like, because once you've worked out the strategy, you just repeat it kind of thing. And it's got enough to like keep you engaged, but also you're on autopilot after a while.
Yeah.
But I remember like there was a moment when I was playing, I think it was that game specifically was the last game I had. And I was just like, what am I doing? What am I doing? Like I've been looking at a screen. Like, here's what happened. I observed myself from the outside.
Oh,
like I had an out-of-body experience. I was playing this game or I had been playing it for like an hour and I just stepped away from myself and I was like, what are you fucking doing? Yeah. Sitting there playing this game for an hour. Like I observed that I wasn't actually playing a game for an hour. I was looking at a tiny little screen with my finger moving around the screen and not absorbing any content, not like learning anything, but just like killing time.
Yeah.
Like, and to some extent, I think that we have a need for that. Like, I think we have a need to disconnect from
rest.
Reality.
Rest.
Yeah. Right. It's a kind of rest. It's like you just turn off. It's almost a flow state. Like, you know, flow states, it turns off the conscious part of your mind and you're just in the middle of executing. You're channeling what the game wants and you know what the game wants and you're just doing. It's like that experience that people have like as an elite athlete or whatever, like even a rider, like just hammering away at the keys and like you're in a flow state.
I am totally an elite athlete when it comes to tasty treats. I can really relate to them.
The floor
know what I mean?
Is really low. Like, you know, the skill floor for tasty treats is probably pretty much lower than it is for like a writer. So you can jump into tasty treats. You can reach that flow state really easily. And that's like a big part of gaming. But it does just eat up your time and it's addictive.
Mm.
And it
does actually rot your brain.
Yeah, it does in a way. Mm. Like because it, and I think it's more of an opportunity cost because you could be doing other things. But it's a balance because you don't also always be going like, what, I should be doing something. I should be doing
Which
being productive.
Is, by the way, how I am.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. Like
a lot to be like that.
You need a bit of the nihilist to be like, well, what do I get out of it? Like, so what if I'm working all the time and I'm becoming better and I'm doing things and I'm, you know, kicking goals and achieving outcomes and then you're going to die and then you're going to be like, well, is that what I did? But at the same time, like.
But I'm not going to be proud if I played Tasty Treats.
You're not going to be like, how big is my McMansion or whatever the fuck you said it was. Like, how many, you know, how many bedrooms does it have or whatever? No one's going to Stick that on your epitaph.
Listen, I'm in the ski resort now, so I'm building a ski resort. Okay. Mm.
Did you ever play The Sims?
Yes, I did. Mm. And I had an issue with The Sims where I would get so involved. And this was early Sims too, so it wasn't as like involved as The Sims is now. Mm. I would get so involved in that game. And, you know, you're trying to make sure your little Sims have gone to the toilet and they've eaten. Yeah. I wouldn't go to the toilet or eat.
Yeah.
And then I would come out of like my Sim state and I would be so busting and so hangry. And I'm just like, oh, my God, I failed to like.
And just like piss yourself on the floor like a Sim.
And I'm stuck in the pool and I'm going to die.
Just like on the floor, bashing the floor, crying.
Yeah, exactly. And then the ghost leaves my body. But like, but I would be so, you know, when you play a game too long and you start to just see, and I would like imagine the little gem over my head or whatever and my little, I could see my little toilet thing in the red zone and I'm like, oh, I need to sort that out.
Yeah.
It's like, that is not okay.
Yeah. No, it's a problem.
Yeah.
And I won't say like I don't have brain rot activities like that. Like I do.
Yeah, you're not above it. Come on.
No, I do still play. I just don't play phone games because I recognize in that moment that I had that realization, that personal epiphany that is a level of passivity, I guess, that I just don't want to do. But I do other stuff that's like I'm on TikTok, right?
This is the thing. Your epiphany about games is my epiphany about TikTok. Mm. I downloaded TikTok once. Mm. And it was such a problem so quickly that I'm like, the only way to deal with this is to delete it and never speak of it again.
Yeah. But see, you're also much bigger into social media than me.
Not by choice.
No, but that's just your personality, right? Because you're on Twitter and you're on everything. And I know for not quite right, you're on that stuff for like professional reasons. But also personally, you get a kick out of that. Semi-professional.
Well, I love connecting with other people for sure. Yeah. And having conversations and stuff and the banter and things. Mm-hmm. But I, you know, gave up Facebook a long time ago, and the only app I really use in my private life, like outside of writing connections, is Instagram. And even that I've disconnected from like for the past couple of years, and I'll only post very occasionally now.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm not really that into social media outside of connecting with writer friends who are all over the world, and it is difficult to connect in any other way.
But like games-wise and just mindless stuff, I do play chess. I got into chess a few years ago during COVID and like learned the basics.
But that's not a brain rot. That requires strategy.
No, but it is. But at some point it becomes a brain rot because like, okay, so either you're – and this is true of anything. Like, okay, so chess has a high ceiling. You can study chess for 20 years and you can be really great and devote your life to it and you may not still be anywhere near the best, right? Mm. Whatever the game you is, can't like, – what's it called, the game that you play? The candy.
Tasty treats.
Saying Candy Crush. No. Tasty Treats, I'm sure, doesn't have like a massive skill ceiling, right? Like it's got a low floor and like
it couldn't get any lower, I'm telling you.
Yeah. So there's above a certain point, it becomes just repetitive and you
literally, the game, the task of the game is to click a thing.
Yeah.
And then things come out of it.
Oh, okay.
And you
it's
match,
like a pokey.
Yeah, and you match the two things that are the same and they create a new thing. And then you have to match that with itself and create a new thing until you get to the top level of the thing. Mm. So you are literally just bing, 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 bing. Yeah. There's no skill, not a single skill required.
Okay. All right. Well, that's...
Whereas Matchington Mansion does actually require a bit of strategy. Mm. Like you're playing a game where... You have to beat the game.
Yeah. So I feel with chess, like I did initially, I learned a bit of basic strategy. I watched a bunch of videos. I still do watch occasional like gameplay videos and stuff. But I'm also at the point where like I intuitively am at my best. Like I can play the game. I can make intuitive choices. But I'm not going to study and learn all the openings. And I'm not going to like learn all the permutations and like drill and do puzzles because I'm not going to be the world champion at chess and I'm not going to be even anywhere near that. So it ends up to being a form of brain rot because I'm just doing the same things and I'm just playing the same openings and playing similar patterns and it's fun and it is challenging and there's still like strategy to it, but it's not like a development thing. It's just like a stuck in a kind of rut thing.
Do you think though, like I can definitely feel my brain dying from having used you know, AI and stuff like that. Like now that you can just search and just get every answer you need very quickly and, you know, you can go, oh, help me write this sentence. To be clear, I'm not using it to write stories.
Yeah.
but like fix my email, make this sound better, stuff like that. And my brain just doesn't work the same anymore. It's like it's way harder to try and get it to start up and start working. And there's other stuff going on, you know, my favorite topic, perimenopause or whatever. Like there are legitimately, and I've had a stressful year, so there's like legitimately things that are taxing my brain as well. But I've never felt dumber. I've never felt dumber in my entire life than I do at 42.
It's I think part of that, a big part of that is just getting older because I feel like between 20 and 40, like you change as a person and there's a thousand factors. Part of it is aging. Part of it is lifestyle. Part of it is just like
there's a level and between 20 and 40, like I was getting better at my job, becoming expert in things. Yeah. Like I was not an expert at 20 and I became an expert in certain things over that period. And now it's like I definitely feel I'm declining. And to be fair, like as a parent, you know, your priorities are different. I'm not like pursuing career growth and development. I'm just kind of working to support my family and that sort of thing. So it's a different frame of mind. But I just feel like my brain's dying. I certainly struggle to remember things now.
Yeah.
But again, like I've got so much going on because as a mum, you're like managing not only your own life and your work life, but also your children's lives, your whole family, social life, your house. Like there's a lot going on. So my brain is just full and things are falling out all the time. And I hate it. I hate it so much. I used to be so on top of everything.
You know, Sharon says the exact same things to me. And it's just like, again, I don't know if it's, I think it's all of those things.
Yeah.
It's the fact that like, okay, at 20, you weren't responsible for other people and you didn't have to coordinate a bunch of other things that have to be your number one priority.
Mm-hmm.
And like, you could think more about like, how do I phrase this email properly or whatever the case may be. So that's part of it. And part of it is just natural decline. I don't think that like the aging decline thing is, it's real, but it's kind of at a, so, you know, chess players as an example, like, and mathematicians, like brilliant mathematicians are brilliant in their 20s.
Mm.
And then in their 30s and the 40s, they're just normal. They're just background. They're just average because the top level skill just goes. And it is only decline. It's just age-related decline. I think everyone has a little bit of that to some extent and you kind of fall into a-
Well, that's fucking great, isn't it? Like that just makes me feel really good and excited about the future. And it's going
to be worse next year. Listen, we recorded but is it like? Do you earlier.
Get? I would. We need to get some older friends, right? And we need to talk to them and say, "Does it get better when your kids move out of home?" And like, I know certainly people talk about their relationship changing when kids move out of home. It's not good for everybody, but for the people who it's good for, it's like you reconnect because you've come out of this like phase of life where your focus was your children, and now you can focus on each other again, and it's like it's good.
Yeah, I think that's a phenomenon. Like a cycle. I've seen stats on that, like with happiness is high in your 20s and then in your 30s and 40s, it like goes to shit. And then you hit your late 40s and your 50s and it's great again. And
interesting.
How would that be? But yeah, like, you know, having kids and not only having kids, but also the career stuff that happens in that period. It's all, that's all growth and pressure and you're trying to be better and you're trying to like get new whatever it is.
Listen, I've been stagnating for the past 15 years.
Yeah. Yeah. And imagine if you didn't have to think about all your kids' stuff and they'd moved out and you were just like, you could be yourself again. And
as much as I'm exhausted by parenting, that makes me sad. Like, oh, I don't want to be sorting them out anymore. But yeah, clearly I'm overwhelmed and that's why I'm like trying to rot my brain. But it doesn't help. It just makes things worse, really. Like if I know that rest is actually hurting my brain because it's not peaceful. My brain isn't at rest. My brain is rotting. It's different. You know, it's not being used in a productive way, but it's still being used. You're still getting like this stimulus and visual stuff or whatever that's like using up your energy and just not in a healthy way whatsoever.
Yeah.
Where I'd get much more value from like staring at a wall.
I think it's very unhealthy.
Maybe I should stare at a wall. That needs even less than tasty treats. How long do you reckon I could do that?
I think you'd get bored pretty quick.
But why is tasty treats less boring when it, I mean, I know it's the poker machine effect, but
it's
like
a flow,
literally nothing is happening in that game.
It's, it's because it turns off your conscious mind. It's your flow state. It's like your
how can I reach my flow state while staring at the wall?
So there's a lot of things you can do.
Like I don't want to hear about strategies. Well, that's the last. I didn't come here for strategies, mate.
I hit flow states in other ways. Like I hit flow states playing tennis.
Mm.
Like it's an activity and you get better at it and you can get to that same thing. And like other activities like that, physical activities, and even like watching a movie or whatever, you kind of get into that same state where your conscious mind disappears and you're just absorbing and you're like in that.
I feel like watching a movie would be way better for me than playing Tasty Treats.
Yeah.
But the name Tasty Treats just brings me a lot of joy.
I think you're addicted.
I'm 100% addicted. That is faux show.
I'll say another thing that I enjoy is I think it's important to learn new things, and I always have the desire to learn new things. And even if it's an instrument or a language, even badly, because I've started like learning multiple languages, but not like
taking it seriously.
Not to the point where I'm like, that's my one thing that I do.
Mm.
And just even random things, like I've told you before that I play GeoGuessr, the game GeoGuessr, and you have to learn, you have to memorize like all the bollards in different countries on the side of the roads and what street marking patterns and how many stripes are on the crosswalk sign where you have like the zebra crossing and different stripes in each country and all that kind of thing. And that's similar to chess, but that's like just learning arbitrary knowledge. But you're also kind of seeing the world in a way as well, like, and you're seeing different places around the world.
Yeah, I mean, that's less of a brain rot. You're using your brain in that case. It's kind of like doing a crossword puzzle. Yeah. It's like a puzzle for the sake of a puzzle.
Yeah.
And it's not like serving some grander purpose, but it is massaging your brain kind of thing in a way that these other games don't. But I don't even know if I have the capacity for that stuff. Like, I get to get, like, I've always played games with my family. We're a board game loving family. We're a bunch of nerds. And when we get together, extended family, we love playing board games. But in recent years, I find myself getting really angry when someone suggests a board game that requires any kind of thought whatsoever. It's like offensive to me. It's like I get upset about it because I'm like stressed about this thing that's supposed to be fun that I once enjoyed very much and now find like off-putting completely. Yeah. So if someone brings out a rule book, I'm like, I'm out, you know? Like, I'm just overwhelmed. But in that moment, I'm not necessarily overwhelmed. My children are a little bit older now. They're relatively self-sufficient. They do whinge and fight a lot. But, you know, they're not demanding of me in a way that a toddler might be. And, you know, I'm not necessarily hosting the function that we're at. I might have brought some food. And, like, I can relax. And I'm with people I enjoy playing games with. And I cannot even play a game. Like, that's how stressed out I am on a day when I should just be chilling out. Like, that's my relaxation time. And I'm still like, I can't play it as a board game. It's kind of crazy.
Yeah, I've definitely had that experience with board games and from kids. And sometimes the games are too much. And it's also, look, I think some of that is also because you're thinking on behalf of your kids.
Yeah.
And you're like, are they going to get it? Are they going to be into it? Is it going to be stressful because I've got to deal with them not getting it or like hating it or whatever? So you've got that extra layer of.
Yeah, I guess. Like if I was at an event and the kids just weren't even there, definitely I would find it all way less stressful. The whole thing, because all I'm worried about is myself. Yeah. You're not getting someone else's food. You're not making sure someone else is, you know, happy. You're just sorting yourself out. So, yeah, I mean, there's a huge element of that. One of my favourite songs at the moment is the song Numb by Marshmello.
I don't know that one.
I rock out to that in the car. It's just about wanting to be numb. It's a great song. I recommend it highly. It's a good one to, like, sing along to.
That's a single effect right there, isn't it? Numb by Marshmello.
And his eyes are just crosses, so he's dead. Yeah. He's dead inside, like me.
Speaking of, you know there's that Nirvana t-shirt with the smiley face and the dead eyes.
Yeah, that's Marshmello, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I was talking to the kid. We were listening to my playlist in the car and a Hole song came on. You know, Hole, the band, and Courtney Love is the singer and Courtney Love is Kurt Cobain's wife. And that came on and they know the song because they've heard it before. And I was like, oh, did you know this is Kurt Cobain's wife? And they're like, who? And I'm like, from the band Nirvana. And they're like, what? And I was like, you know the t-shirts with the face? And they're like, oh, is that a band?
Oh, so you're a Nirvana fan. Name three of their songs.
Yeah, exactly.
Name one of their wives.
They thought it was a t-shirt company.
Oh.
Like a t-shirt brand.
Just a t-shirt. Wow. Yeah. Okay. I mean, yeah. It's funny because, I don't know, we're in an era where we're very self-aware about the things that make us look old and about like what's come before us and stuff. I feel like when our parents started to notice they were getting old, it wasn't in such a self-aware way. It's like, this is the first time this has ever happened and how do my kids not understand?
Yeah.
Now we're just like, yeah, that's pretty funny. Let's make a meme about it.
Yeah, because we saw our own parents go through it, especially with like technology.
Mm.
I bet your mum doesn't play Fancy Fruit or whatever the fuck it's called. Like, my short-term memory is like McMansion, Fancy Fruit, whatever the fuck. Whatever your kids play these days.
Yeah, exactly. You're really channeling old man vibes there. Yeah, no, what does my mum do to brain rot? Well,
watches Columbo.
She watches crap on TV, but like usually good stuff probably, like not brain running stuff. Like she wouldn't be a keeping up with the Kardashians fan kind of situation. She'd be watching a series of something.
But anyway, I think there is a need for brain rot. I think you need some brain rot.
Yeah, but it's so unhealthy. It's like saying I have a need for sugar and saturated fats. Like I do. I desperately want them and I crave them. And when I have them, I feel good, but it's like not good.
There's a category of things, okay? Let me put things in that category. One is brain rot. Like, okay, let's put in this jar, let's put TikTok, let's put
Fancy Fruit
McMansion in that jar. Let's also put alcohol in that jar.
Yeah.
And reality TV.
Yep.
And computer games, like just, random computer games that you play for hours on
end. The song Numb by Marshmello.
And they're all stuff that you need in your life in moderation, but also they're all highly addictive and they want to be part of your life to a much larger extent. Oh, the other thing I was going to put in there is like heroin and
yeah, those totally. Things.
Like, we all need a bit of heroin in moderation.
And like
whatever.
Okay, any addiction, right? Mm. Shopping addiction, sex addiction, whatever addiction people might have, that's definitely in the brain rot category. Mm. I mean, I should thank my lucky stars that I'm only addicted to fancy fruit and not
it could be worse.
Not to like fancy fucking heroin.
Yeah. Yeah, and gambling addictions.
Yeah,
and things like that.
All of
like,
those.
We're all susceptible to some things more than others. Like, gambling addictions, it's not for me.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm too
some
stingy.
Some people are like,
I'm too stingy to have a gambling addiction.
I've gambled a bit and then I lose money and I'm like, this is fucked.
Yeah,
like,
and because when you understand the theories of probability, it's like,
but some people, it's what tickles them. And like, you've got to understand that. You've got to give yourself a little bit of that. You can't just be, I get up, I'm productive, I work, and I go to bed.
But you know what? Some people are even addicted to things like exercise, right? Yeah. You can be addicted to, and of course, it's a much healthier addiction than alcoholism, for example. But I remember reading Mark Manson's, I think it's in Everything is Fucked. So he's got, what's the first
fuck,
one?
Giving the fuck about the fuck, that guy.
Yeah, the fuck guy. Yeah. But the second book, I think it is, Everything is Fucked.
Yeah.
He talks about religion. And that you can have different religions and that, for example, we've talked about this before, I think, but that, running can be your religion.
Yeah.
Writing, flash fiction can be your religion and you like attach a lot of importance to it and you kind of treat it like it's central in your life and that the things that are important about that become important about your whole life. And I think that's so true. And I think there are people I know who treat exercise as to the point where it's maybe a little bit antisocial, for example. But still, again, way better than having an alcohol addiction or something or drug addiction.
But maybe that's all there is because, people are these.
We're just animals.
Existential and say, like, people are these thinking machines. Like, they do the shit that they want to do. They do the shit that comes naturally that kind of inspires them, that motivates them to do more shit. So maybe that's running and maybe that's heroin for you. But for successful people, like maybe for Elon Musk or the bald guy, who's the bald guy from
Jeff Bezos,
thank you.
The bald guy, I immediately knew who you meant.
Maybe it's making money. Like they're addicted to that. This thing they do, like I'm obsessed with the making the money and building the business and becoming richer and richer. And like, okay, that's successful and it's productive. But at the end of the day, like, all right, that's your thing.
Yeah.
That's either your thing or it isn't, I guess.
Yeah.
They're not spending the time in the gym. They're spending the time in the boardroom or whatever the case may be. Mm. And you're spending your time on your little McMansion.
Oh, that's so depressing. I do other things.
I know you do.
Do a lot of other things.
So does Elon Musk as well. He's got 14 kids. He keeps busy.
He He's doing some things.
Like some, he's got hobbies, that man.
He must. Never mind.
Go on.
No, no, no.
This is a safe space. This is a safe
very,
niche.
Very unsafe, unsafe niche. I was going to say he must finish fast because he has to get through.
I don't know how long it takes. Like, it doesn't take
he's
that
very
long.
Busy. Ago. He's very busy. Mm. How's he fit it in? Oh.
Oh, it kind of feels dirty paying a dollar for an Elon Musk penis joke.
Yeah, like, yuck.
No thanks. So on that note, I think it's probably time to wrap up this, this little episode of The Niche.
Mm. No, but before we go, I just need you to quickly solve my problem in a way that doesn't require me to do anything.
Here's my advice to you. Find a better brain rot. Because, like, the phone games, they're bad.
Yeah.
Like especially the games where you're just not, like, take that step away from you outside yourself and observe yourself looking at, like, lights on a screen for an hour.
Do you know what I think I need?
Have you watched Pluribus, the new show? Anyway, your mind is being
captured. That's what I need to do. I need to start watching TV again.
Yeah.
I don't watch it. I was going to say, I think the one thing that could break me out of my brain rot is to take a photo of my posture while I'm on the phone and then show that to me. And every time I get on the phone, just flash that picture of me like hunched over, like just this disgusting like thing on like a barnacle. Just show me that picture of myself and I'll be like, okay, yeah, I'll stop.
This one time I got home from like a work drinks drunk. It may have been a Christmas party. I don't remember what it was. So drunk. And I passed out naked in the bathroom. And Sharon took a little video of me, like, being all fucked up in the bathroom. And I never drank again since that happened.
Oh, that was my last drink. Yeah. I remember that.
Sometimes it takes you just to be shown an image of yourself to know that you're on the wrong path.
All right. Well, thank you. You've solved my problem. I'm going to replace Tasty Treats with some sort of TV recommendation. Yeah. My list is so long. I've been spending years accepting recommendations and doing nothing about them. So
and failing that, I can help you out with GeoGuessr and getting started and how to like.
I have zero interest in GeoGuessr, but thank you. All right. Well.
That wraps it up.
Yeah. Thanks for joining us.
Niche. Thank you for joining us in our little cozy meat space.